You know, one of the things I believe in, we talk a lot about on this show, is the importance of a consistent sales process. And so today I want to continue that discussion a little bit and get into a little deeper dive about exactly how we do that. The first step with your service technicians and your homeowners is to build the relationship. I want to share some training with you from Gary Ellix, who talks about how to do the relationship building and why it's so important.
So there's three basic questions in sales process. When we talk about sales process, we're talking about that there actually is a process. So number one on that list is, what do we actually sell? And so the very fundamental question that's being asked here is, how does the consumer determine the trust issues that occur in a relationship with respect to an individual technician, a company, or however that works? So I'm actually going to write that word down, because trust is essentially what creates the relationship for somebody to say yes and give you their money, that at this point, I believe in what you're saying and I trust you as an individual. So there are four things that we have to understand, and this is an internalization process for you as a service group or as an individual technician, that the first thing that you sell is yourself. So me or you being involved with a homeowner in any kind of a service transaction, be it a service call, whether that's a direct repair, whether it's a service agreement opportunity, whether it's an accessory, an indoor air quality, a lead turnover, or if you're a direct sales process with equipment, all of those things are going to require the customer to believe in you first. You're the expert and you're perceived to be the expert, but the minute that we begin speaking and communicating and making a process occur is the minute that the customer starts assessing what's going on relative to that. But even before that, they're assessing our image, they're assessing whether our vehicle is parked in the right place. You know, if you park on my driveway, my first concern in my mind is, oh my gosh, you're going to drip transmission fluid on my, you know, my driveway. So these are how consumer patterns and thinking processes occur. So we have to be mindful as business owners and as service technicians and service managers who may be training, that the me part of that or the you part of that isn't just the way I look or the way I act or how I speak. It's an entire process built around the idea that you, the service technician, have a brand. In fact, I even want you to write that down. Your company has a brand, but you are, in fact, a brand. And you're a brand within the framework of your company. Your service group, your management of your company, your owner of your company views you a particular way. And so what you need to do is you need to be in control of how your brand is established. So when you sell yourself, what you're doing is you're presenting yourself as not only the expert, but a person that is trustworthy in relationship to what we're going to be selling or talking about or educating. The second thing is always going to be the company's brand and the company's experience. So we talk a lot about brand experience. Great brand experiences are not accidents. Great brand experiences occur because people have spent a lot of time and energy thinking about, how do I make that customer feel good emotionally about the work or the impact of what we're going to be doing today at the home. So, for example, I have a painting crew out at my house, and they've been there for a couple of weeks. And so the painters, you know, they're nice people, and they're doing a good job technically painting. And one of the things I've noticed is they've done a nice job in the interrelationships, specifically with my wife and my dog and my family, interconnecting and spending some time socializing, building that connectivity in the relationship. So it's not just about the painting. And so one of the things that he said is, hey, when I'm doing the work, if you see anything or you have a question or you're concerned about where I might have done something that doesn't exactly hit what you expect, I want you to tell me about it. I'm okay with it. I want to fix it. I want you to be happy. And my wife just kind of melted. So what she actually did is she went into the kitchen and she made him a bunch of chocolate chip cookies to take home that day. And she said, I was just so enthused that they were caring about the quality that much that they allowed me to influence whether or not there was a couple of things. And she goes, you know, there was one or two things, and I told them, and they fixed it right away. So great example of the service technician in this case being interfaced with the consumer and the company's brand experience. Clearly the company, which is CertaPro Painters, by the way, they clearly have trained that individual to interface and connect with the consumer. The consumer in this case being the gender female, my wife, and she is the decision maker in terms of what goes on in terms of that house. So that was a very targeted conversation. He could have done that as an accident or just because he had great skill, meaning that he was an unconscious competent, so he had the awareness to do it, but he wasn't sure why he was doing it. But I think personally that he was trained, he understands, his company has put him through some basic training to say that not only is he the brand, but the company is the brand, and so CertaPro Painters is now benefiting because they have spent the time and energy to work with that individual and his crew to be able to do the right thing. The third thing that we're going to sell is the product, the service, or whatever the technical expertise is in case of the solution. So again, service calls, service agreements, accessories, equipment lead turnovers, equipment, any IAQ type of product or service, plumbing transactions for us, electrical opportunities, they're all out there for us. So the customer does not know about our product and solutions. And that's one thing that we need to be very aware of and very careful about, is that most customers are not aware of our company store. If I go to Best Buy and I want to shop for, you know, a new iPhone or a big screen TV or any type of electronic device, I can walk in the store and everything is there and I'm exposed to it. The problem that we have is we're like a doctor, we're the expert, and we're bringing a vehicle and we're taking our tools and our knowledge and our abilities to the home. Because of that process, the homeowner doesn't know, you know, what an IAQ system does or doesn't do. They don't necessarily know what you know or I know relative to the service call itself. So they're relying on us to be the expert. And so part of the idea is selling ourselves and then our company's brand. It extends to the idea that we have to be very non-technical at our explanations with consumers. And in fact, when we go through the process later down here, when we talk about the actual skill sets, I would love to have you have some tools and resources that break down the conversation for homeowners, that make it very simple and self-explanatory for the consuming public to understand, so that you are doing your job in connecting the solution, the technical solution, or the accessory, or the indoor air quality device, that you're making it so that the customer is buying into the process, that it's as simple as can be without being offensive in the sense that, you know, you don't want to treat them as if they don't know anything. But at the same time, you've got to lose the technical jargon. You've got to lose things like, you know, condensing unit or coil, evaporator coil, or, you know, the idea that there's an air handling unit. You need to break these things down into the simplest terms, and pictures and graphs and pieces of information will help you communicate. So people have different levels of communication. Some people like to touch. Some people do well with hearing. Some people are very visual. Some people are, you know, conceptual. My wife is a perfect example. So she is a very artistic, conceptual thinker and learner. So words or the idea of mechanical stuff for her, it's overwhelming. So, but she likes the idea of being able to see it. She can process it differently, and her mind works in that particular way. Some people like me are experiential learners. If you give me something mechanical, I don't necessarily be able, I can't see it like you can and just undo it and put it back together. But what I do is once I take it apart, put it back together, I've learned it, and I will have mastered that forever, and that process will work for me. So I'm tactile and experiential in that regard. So because of that, the way we present solutions to consumers needs to adapt to the basic idea that they are the customers, so we need to relate to them based on the product or solution. And they don't know what our product or solutions are, so we have to be very careful about how we communicate that. And then the fourth thing is always the money. I mean, at the end of the day, there's an equation here that we need to understand. And we've talked about this in other videos, which is perceived value is equal to perceived benefits divided by the price. So what that means is the value proposition for the homeowner is highly interdependent on whether or not we do a good job in 1, 2, and 3. If I'm doing a poor job of communicating to you on this video, you're probably not going to want to watch the video, and you're probably not going to want to be a member of EGIA, and that's fine. But if we're doing a good job, you might say, hey, the little short ball guy, he's got some things that we might want to think about, so we're going to integrate some of that stuff into our world. And when it works, that's a level of trust that gets created. And so you go, you know what, I'll come back and I'll do something else. So the idea of perceived value is highly interdependent on the idea of how well or poorly we do within 1, 2, and 3 inside of that segment. The money is attached to the lower portion of that, meaning that if there's great benefit and the price is low relative to the benefit, you repeat that pattern. So the consumer looks at this and says, well, your service agreement is $169. What do I get? Well, the opportunity is there then for you to educate the customer, which is what we talk about in bullet point two. The idea of how we sell is we educate, we create an awareness, and the way we're going to create that awareness is we're going to drive questions. We're going to make sure that the customer is in control of the process by us asking questions. So we're going to lead the customer right where we want to take them and educate them by asking them questions, and then they're going to ask us questions, and we're going to give feedback, and there's going to be an exchange. And that's going to be a dialogue that's going to create a lot of trust based on the idea that we have trained you individually on your product and services.